have arrived. The mood is right. It's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Speaking of strange, it's News Radio 570 WWNC beaming all around this here universe. You can pick us up on the iHeartRadio app. My dad's got it on his phone. If he's got it, you can get it.
Even I could figure it out.
Yeah, so if he figured it out, you got to be able to. You can also pick us up on 570. You can speakingstrange.com, joshuapwarren.com. A lot. You have a plethora, a veritable cornucopia of options. Now, I got to preface this by saying this is the Dark 30 Hour. We are now, Dad. I'm Sam Steele, Sam the Animal Steele, your host. And tonight, in the guest chair, my dad, Dr. Dave Steele. I apologize for any harm that this may cause your stellar reputation with your colleagues.
Hypothetically, it could.
We were talking about the OJ thing that was on Fox earlier in the week.
Hypothetically, if I were actually here doing this.
Hypothetically. Now, look, I'm not saying that I did any of these things, but hypothetically, if I tried to sell farts in a jar. I'll answer here in a minute. This is the Dark 30 Hour, Dad, and we're what's in Safe Harbor is what it's called.
I see.
Safe Harbor is after 11 o'clock. You can say and do like...
Oh, so that there actually is legally FCC permission to do a little bit more.
A little more risque, yeah.
I
because,
see. Okay.
You know, the rationale being there's, you know, younger ears are typically not listening.
Yeah, I should be in bed by now. Anyway.
Yeah, you should. No. I mean, I know. You're getting up there.
I'm getting up there.
I haven't even eaten lunch yet. Our schedules are a little bit different. But, if you happen to have, not just young kids, but, you know, if you're like mom, you know, she'll probably not even listen to this.
Yeah.
But, you know, she might.
If it's archived, we could play it during the daytime.
But I'm just saying that even if it's not the hour, but she, right. the content, it can be a little... It's not going to be horrible. It's PG-13 at best. No X-rated stuff going on in Safe Harbor here. But we'll start off with this story. Here's the headline. It says, man arrested after selling farts in jars without a vending license. And I showed you this man's mugshot.
That was a great mugshot.
I know. It's one of the pitfalls of radio. You can't see this mugshot.
Can't see it.
But let me tell you something. I was reading through this. There's a couple of things that make it seem...
Looks a little like Jabba the Hutt.
He does look like he has the shape of Jabba the Hutt. He's kind of shaped like a poo emoji, actually. there's a couple things about this story that kind of jump out at me as maybe being clickbait... Maybe not being, you know, we don't have a team here. We don't have fact checkers. This could be fake news.
Yeah.
But there's a couple things that jump out at me. A, it says from Tennessee, USA. It doesn't say like Memphis, Nashville. It just says Tennessee, USA. Somewhere in Tennessee. But that being said, if somebody was going to be arrested for selling farts in a jar, it's probably going to be in Tennessee.
Probably be right next to the Jack Daniels.
Why do you say that?
I don't know.
That's in Kentucky.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong state.
Kentucky. Anyway, a man was captured for offering his own farts in containers without having a distributing permit. Now, I don't think you have to actually have a fart-selling license per se. But, theoretically, you're supposed to –
Hypothetically.
You're supposed to have a license, to sell goods or whatever. The man was gotten. Now this is the other thing that kind of jumps
out. How big were the containers?
Well, I'm thinking mason jar.
So they just had one size?
I'll read the story. But
okay.
The thing it also, it says the man was gotten by the experts.
The experts.
Who are the experts in flatus selling? I thought that department got its budget cut with everybody else. But they inquired as to whether or not he had authorization, and the man couldn't reply. Apparently, he was deep in the throes of flatus. He was offering flatulence from various nourishments and with various ages. I think we all know that, flatulence is best served in an oak. You know, it's best aged in oak,
That sort of makes sense.
Like a fine wine.
Except doesn't the oak absorb it?
It lends a smoky
flavor to it.
Yeah. Now, it says that he had about 150
berry
containers. But, I guess I don't know what the half-life of a fart is, But it said there that he was offering flatulence as old as 1 week. So maybe they, you know, after a certain point, they just degrade.
Yeah.
But he, you know, here's
There should be a Best Buy date on these jars.
There should be. I mean, you know.
Of course, I would still get them if they're past the expiration.
I know. He eats the sour cream. He'll eat the around the mold.
No, I just picked a piece of mold out of it.
No. Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's gross. But, you see, I think, you know, some good came out of this story because his clients or whoever, I'm sure there's a subculture for everything. You know, there's people in
most likely
different strokes for different folks. But these people who were into flatulent buying, I think they were getting ripped off because he did not. There's no food.
Was there a quality control here?
No, there's not.
No quality.
Because it said that each jug had only about 30% fart and 70% air.
Well, see, that's the thing I was wondering about, because you'd have to somehow evacuate the regular air as you get the fart in the jar. I'm not sure how you do that.
I would assume that it would have to be some sort of, you know, a grommet system, and maybe like a funnel.
If you had a lid with like two tubes, one for input and one for outputting the normal
flatus
air.
If you recall, the MythBusters did do a flatus special.
Did they?
Yeah,
I did not see that. Is it flammable?
That's like what they were. Yeah,
that's what they were testing.
Well, it is flammable. You can light a fart. That
methane is
Well, apparently he had about 90 jugs for each day. So I mean, this guy.
Whoa.
It doesn't say
what was
though,
this guy eating.
It doesn't say how much you know it was going for. I don't know what the going rate is, but apparently you know in this economy, which is very good for some and for the rest of us, you know, like you have your side hustle. Apparently, it says more people are thinking about making this a profession.
Nice side income there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I really have zero applicable life skills. So, you know, if it wasn't for talking into a microphone, I mean, I'm farting in jars.
Huh.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. What else do we got here? Oh, if you needed another reason to not visit Zambia, well, I'll tell you why. In Lusaka, Zambia, you can't. It's totally illegal, and no one will admit to owning one. And no one yet has been arrested, probably been, like, murdered, chopped up. But Zambia waging a fierce campaign against sex dolls.
Oh, yeah.
Now, these are not the sex dolls that you had and when you were growing up. These are not the inflatable.
Hypothetically,
you never owned one.
Oh, no.
Hypothetically. But the government there, you know, I think the government sucks here. Well, apparently in Zambia, they launched a crackdown on the sex toys last month, threatening offenders with heavy jail terms over the dolls, which it says are, quote, very unnatural. Now,
what good would that be?
Right, exactly. You'd want it to be very natural. I mean, these things are, we're not talking about any, these are not.
Not robotic? Or
no, these are.
Oh, they are robotic?
I mean, well, they can be, yeah.
Okay.
Usually it's just the heads are robotic.
Okay.
The bodies are a latexy rubber.
I see.
But the heads, you know, they talk. They are full robot heads. I mean, these things cost well over $5,000.
Really? Okay.
And you know, there's a whole subculture of people like around the world. More and more people are lonely. You know, and a lot. Oftentimes, these dolls are not just solely used for sex acts. They're just used
companionship.
For companionship, and stuff like that. Well,
you've got a cat.
I don't. Well, hey now.
No, I don't mean for that.
Leave the pussy out of this. I mean, come on. It's a male cat, too.
It's a male cat, so make matters.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so apparently Zambia, very Christian nation. And according to the Minister of National Guidance and Religious Affairs, Godfrida Sumali, she says, being a Christian nation, obviously we are anchored in Christian principles, and one of the values is morality and ethics. Now, first of all, that's two. So she clearly did not get that right. But selling or using a sex doll is against Zambian law, she said, vowing to ensure they are not bought on the internet and imported. The use of sex dolls is definitely in contradiction to our natural heritage and our principles. The law actually forbids anybody to trade in and use such objects. And so this is why we are saying for Zambians,
is there a big trade-in market for these things?
That this is a very unnatural thing. Actually, yeah. Funny you say that. There is, you know, because, I mean, they're not cheap. It's not like a disposable object.
So you got a good used one, gently used.
Well, yeah. I mean, it depends on what you find. I mean, I don't know what your your level of gross outedness is. But, you know, if it's thoroughly washed, hypothetically, yeah. And by the way, why we're saying hypothetically so much is, like I had started to say, we're talking about the O.J. Simpson If I Did It special earlier off the air. We were just talking, and it was pretty crazy is what it was. Hypothetically. He said hypothetically a lot while he admitted to murder.
That's right.
Totally admitted to murder. He's like, I mean, hypothetically, I did saw it off her head. Anyway, back to the sex dolls before we hit this break here. So, unnatural. What do you think about that? I say, look, you know, there's people out there who are not the best looking people. There are people out there who don't have social graces, who, you know, don't, people like me even, who don't like going out, who don't like people.
Well, it's a risk meeting new people.
It is. I mean, you open yourself up to hurt. You know, some people really just can't have a conversation. Do you think they should be denied what I believe is like our right? You know, like it's part of our body. Like, you know, you got to have some release. Why not have it with a nice latex doll if you can't? Who's it hurting? Right? Who is it hurting? You can't answer that. You don't have an answer for that.
I don't have an
answer. Well, what she said, she said, God created man and woman for sexual satisfaction, but for a man or woman to use a lifeless object is immoral. I think that's a little much. I don't think it's immoral, but...
yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it might not be your cup of tea.
I don't drink tea. Coffee, you know.
The Steels have never been a tea family.
Not a tea family.
You're listening to Speaking of Strange, where we discuss all sorts of beverages, sex dolls, tea bags, farts. I mean,
they have liquid forms of that?
Oh, gosh. Remember, just because we are in the dark 30 hour, remember, there are sensitive ears out there, Dad.
That's right.
You are listening to Joshua P. Warren, Speaking of Strange, brought to you by M&D Paranormal. We'll be back right after this. You're fine, so kind. I want to tell the world that you're mine, 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 mine. I chew my nails and I twiddle my thumbs. I'm real nervous, but it sure is fun. Oh, baby, drive me crazy. Goodness and grace, just great balls of fire. Where the unusual becomes usual.
Speaking of a strange.
Yeah, that's, in case you were wondering, that's Jonestown. Set to music. You know, I'm kind of fascinated by cult leaders. Jim Jones.
Well, there was a special...
let me just throw this in. You're listening to Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC. Sam the Animal Steel, joined by my dad, Dr. Dave Steel. Excuse me. The Dark 30 Hour is where we get a little bit more risque, and things can kind of go not off the rails. I've got morals and values, but they might get a little bit wonky. A little bit. Nothing crazy. I mean, there was, the Reverend Jimmy Jones.
Yeah, I saw a special recently on TV about the women of Jonestown, which I found fascinating, because apparently towards the end, Jim Jones himself was really incapable of making decisions and doing things. And so he had this group of devoted women, like four of them, I think, that just kind of did everything. And it's quite remarkable why they agreed to do this whole mass suicide thing.
Excuse me.
So the yeah.
Well, first of all, it was not a mass suicide.
Well, what was it?
It was mass murder.
Mass murder. Okay. Well, I mean, I know. I understand, but forced suicide.
Forced suicide. Yeah. I mean, most of those people
were kids.
Well, no. I mean, well, they were elderly and very old or very young. I would say the vast majority, over 75%, I mean, they all went there really having the best of intentions.
Yeah.
They did not know.
Had no clue.
No. And then by the time, and Jim Jones, if you've read the new book, just came out last year, I have it on Book on Tape, and I hate Book on Tape. It's the first Book on Tape I've ever bought. And
is it actually tape or CD?
No, it's an audio file.
Like, okay, file.
Not an audio file, as in like somebody who likes music.
Likes audio.
No, but I mean, it's a file, but I like to read the book.
A lover of audio, audio file.
It's an audio file that's actually in FLAC format, so it's a very high quality audio file for the audio file. Anyway, you know, it. These people, he was, even at a very young age, was very, very devious, mischievous. He was very smart, as most, you know, religious cult leaders are. Did you watch any of the show about David Koresh, that six-part
I did, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. That guy played really good.
Pretty interesting.
We said he could, like, he had, like, learned the entire Bible.
Yeah, he had a lot of it memorized.
Probably. Yeah, and I mean, and what's interesting about David Koresh is, and this is going back, and this is not typical Dark 30, but this is my show again. We can talk about whatever we want. This is not typical.
Well,
we usually
get
talk
to my
about
platypus story.
You're
going
to get to the platypus story,
okay.
But just for a sec, since we're on this topic. Okay, so Jim Jones, obviously not the second coming of Christ, but he had a lot of people fooled. I mean, all these people gave all their earthly possessions.
Yeah, it was so sad.
And then, you know, the next thing they know, they've moved their lives to Guyana, which even today is a long trip. They are, you know, over an hour in the jungle off of anything resembling.
That's because he wanted to isolate them.
Right. Yeah. But they thought they were going to start a commune, you know. And
right.
They didn't know that, you know, they couldn't actually. And they did a dang good job of doing what they did, but then imagine his voice being piped over the speakers 24 hours a day.
Oh.
And then it starts getting very dark, you know, and like the public beatings and the, you know, all this. And then by this point, where are you going to go? You're elderly or infirm. You can't, you know, get on a tractor. Whose tractor are you going to get on to go through the mud
there'd be no way of escaping that.
Yeah, and then, like, you think about the whole Congressman Leo Ryan aspect, and then that gets really crazy that he killed a sitting congressman. But with David Koresh, you know, another person, very charismatic, you know, knew the word of the Lord. This is what is interesting to me about cult leaders is that I don't have that charisma. I don't have the ability or the want, really, to get people to like me or to, you know, have control over anybody.
Yeah.
But he was saying that he was the second coming.
Svengali, as it were.
Yeah, he was saying he was the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
What if he was and nobody believed him? How do we know that he wasn't?
Well, it doesn't quite coincide with what we know in the scripture.
But what I'm saying is, like, when Christ was here, nobody really believed him either.
That's true. I mean, he was different than what they expected.
You know, you can look back through, you know, hindsight 2020, be like, oh, well, now, you know, I mean, the disciples, you know. But then at the time, couldn't it have just been like that crazy guy Jesus and the crazier 12 dudes that accompanied him everywhere? Like, at the time, it probably didn't seem. A lot of people remember, he got crucified, for goodness sakes.
Right.
David Koresh got, you know, killed by the government. I'm saying, you know, in thousands of years from now, what if we're like, oh, crap, well, we killed Christ. I'm just saying, as a hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
Let's get back. Read your podcast story.
Yeah, this is, I found this interesting story about platypus milk.
Okay.
Now, it says Australian scientists.
Would that be platypi?
Well, that's what I'm confused by, because it looks like it uses platypus both for singular and plural, because I thought it might be platypuses or platypi, but it looks like
pie.
Platypus is both singular and plural here.
Interesting syntax.
But in 2010, so I don't know why the story is just coming out now, Australian scientists discovered that something in the platypus milk was a potential protein able to fight superbugs. All right. Now, the trick is the platypus don't have Forgive me for saying this, hun. They don't have teats.
Are you saying hun to mom or to me?
Well, I was thinking of my wife.
Oh, okay.
Apologize. They don't have teats. So here's how they deliver the milk to their young. They concentrate milk to their belly and feed their young by sweating it out. So the young drink sweaty milk off the mother's belly. Now, why? So, but scientists think that actually contributes to the antibacterial properties because since the belly sweat milk is exposed to bacteria, there's something designed in the milk to combat that, so it actually has an extra antibacterial property. And I thought it might be useful in fighting superbugs. So I thought that was quite interesting. If you can get past the idea of sweaty belly milk.
Well, that and, I mean, here in Western North Carolina anyway,
I don't know.
How many platypus do we have?
I know. This would be tough to find.
Are
in the grocery shelves.
At the nature center? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't know if CVS Pharmacy would have this.
So you remember we watched a couple years ago, you watched Fringe.
Oh, yeah, Fringe.
Fringe was a good show. You know, you had, those guys called? The Watchers or the bald guys that wore the hat? The Observers. The
Observers, yeah.
And they were from the future or
the alternate.
Well, parallel universe.
Parallel universe, yeah.
Well, anyway, you know, I don't discount when people say, you know, the time travel, you know, it could. There's been movies and stuff. There's stuff that makes you wonder. You see, like some of those old
time is a fascinating subject. Of course, that gets back to Stephen Hawking too.
It does when you get into like the time. Was it a time warp or like how the universe bent? And
yeah,
so, like,
supposedly massive objects actually distort time.
Yeah, and so like you know, time is not a straight line, is what that got down to, right?
Okay.
So like time does not a thread that's stretched out with A and B on it. It's like a wavelength, you know. So you could have peaks and valleys. So then like you could go from one peak to the other peak and jump a good deal of time by just going, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So like the wormhole effect, if you had a bend in the time fabric, that you could actually join two pieces of time that were different but travel them quickly.
Yeah, that would be the theory. It's like that you would not have to get on a train and go from point A to point B, which is, you could, like, you know, go to point B. You know, it's just like a shortcut or whatever. But, so if you're a time traveler, let's say John Connor in Terminator 2.
I just saw the remake of that. I thought it was pretty good. I didn't catch the whole thing, but.
Well, you know, I mean, John Connor came back to warn about, what was the name of the company, the...
Oh, Teledyne? No.
No, I think that was RoboCop.
Okay.
No, you know, he came back, the
Dyson?
Skylab.
Oh, Dyson
was
Electronics.
Skylab? Anyway.
It might have been Skylab.
But what about this guy who claims he's a time traveler from the year 4000? You can watch this video, and he talks about the future and cars of the future, and he says that domestic animals will be extinct. He says his name is, get this, it's such a futury name, John. His name is John. And actually, we're going to have to get to John after the break because I don't want to just rush through John because it's kind of ridiculous. You know, if I was going to travel all the way through time to tell somebody something, it better be important. You know what I'm
saying? Maybe John is spelled G-I-A-H-N or something.
It's John, but it's spelled K-L-U-M. I don't know.
Like Klingon.
Yeah. There is a story I did find. See, the Klingon story. We might get to that, too.
Okay.
I don't know what's going to happen. It's Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. I don't know what will happen.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. We'll be right back after this on News Radio 570 WWNC. Wake up, buddy. Wake up, buddy, Susie. Wake up, buddy, Susie. Well, what are we going to tell your mama? What are we going to tell your papa? Tell our friends when they say, ooh la la, wake up, pretty Susie. Wake up, pretty Susie. Well, I told you, mama, that you'd be invited. It came in a chain reaction. Satisfaction. Yeah. You're listening to Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC, where the unusual becomes usual. I am Sam Steele, in some way, shape, or form, representing Joshua P. Warren, as this is his baby. I'm just babysitting, I suppose. I got tonight as my guest my dad, Dr. Dave Steele. We're brought to you by HauntedAsheville.com. You should go check them out. If you've not, if you lived in the Asheville area for a long time, or if you just moved here, it's not only a good way to check out the city of which we live in, which is getting more and more less Asheville in some ways. Every time somebody else moves here, a lot of people moving here.
That's true.
I was reading...
we did like 30 years 30 ago.
30 years ago, yeah. it was a different place, you know?
It really was, actually.
And I was on the trip recently. I was in the airport. I got a GQ. And I was reading the GQ, and it's like, the coolest city you've never been to, Asheville, North Carolina. And I was like, oh, great. Now my rent just went up another 15%.
Yeah.
From what I was paying 5 years ago, it's almost $450, $500 more a month than I was paying 5 years ago.
Probably about double, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane. I'm not making double.
No.
These people, these employers don't know about the cost of living allowance. I don't know. What did we
talk? I
turned into a financial show all of a sudden. So when we left last, I was telling you about a time traveler. He was from the year 4000.
Yes.
Now, that kind of struck me as odd. Why not 4012? Why
4000? Like too general.
It's too specific.
No, well.
Or really, I don't know. I mean, either way, 4000 is too even. Or odd, if you want to get...
No, it's not it's odd. Even. It's even. It is even.
But you know what I'm saying. Why not 3998?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It should be a more interesting, specific number.
And it's far enough away that one would have to assume that in the year 4000, things would be pretty dramatically different than they are now. If we're here, if we continue at this rate, things would probably not...
I mean, it would be unrecognizable.
Probably. But, I mean, that's what it's, almost 2,000 years from now. People, and I'm thinking of people at the turn of the century thinking what it would be like now. 2,000 years from now, it would be unrecognizable. But this guy, whose name is John, says he's 132 years old.
Hmm.
Now, that's a mere blink of the eye in time.
Now, he's 132 years old in his 4,000-year time frame?
Yes, that's what I'm gathering. Yeah, so he would have been born in 3,868 or whatever.
I see, yeah.
But he says that he can communicate through telepathy. Now, he released this 20-minute video on YouTube, and here are some other humdingers that he revealed about the year 4,000.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Robots will replace human jobs.
Well, that's happening now. Oh, that's shocking.
I know. John, stop. We're not ready for all
this
at once.
I can't take it.
Okay. That's one. That's one big one there from the year 4000. Let's say he is claiming to hold a picture of cars from the future. He states in the video, I'm 132 years old, but I look like 20 or 25 years in comparison with you. The design of our cars is different, but I have a surprise for you. I decided to bring along a photo with me as evidence. Now, his photo from the year 4000, I would think that photos would be obsolete. Why does he still have a paper photo?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you would think it would be like imprinted into your brain circuitry and you could project it through your eyeball.
Like a holograph.
It showed a looked like a concept car from the 50s. It's nothing, yeah. And then he added, the design of our cars is different. I brought this photo. I took this picture. This is the DR18.
Okay.
Okay, the DR18, really? That sounds like an Aston Martin. It's not that crazy.
Well, did he tell what fuel it uses?
You would think that it would use some sort of new hydrogen,
Some fuel cell
but
or something.
Here's the capper. And honestly, I could look forward to this. He says the best thing about the year 4000, no traffic jams.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, if that was the best thing about 2018, I'd be okay with that. But, I mean, if that's the best thing that I have to look forward to, I mean, just let me die. I don't think that John, you know, he doesn't want to show his face because he says he doesn't want to be at risk, yada, yada, yada. He said, oh, this is another thing. Domestic cats and dogs can only be seen in zoos in the year 4000.
Oh.
And the birds in the sky, all destroyed to make way for the flying cars.
I see.
He said that his time in 2018 had been dangerous and horrible. But that sounds about right.
Okay.
Under the Trump presidency, that sounds about
right.
Okay. That's a jab there. Oh, what, you got anything over there?
I actually can't find anything.
Oh, that's great. That's just great. Good thing.
Well, here's one that's a little strange.
All right, go for it. See what you got.
The thing is, I don't know if I can. This mother got arrested in Oklahoma for marrying her daughter. Oklahoma mother goes to jail for marrying her daughter. Apparently, I don't know. It just looks, the two married in March 2016 after same-sex marriage became illegal. Her son, who was 18 years old at the time, annulled the marriage on incest charges. So, I don't know.
Wait, is this the mother and daughter one?
Mother and daughter, yeah.
I missed the first part there.
Yeah.
You're not really, you got to sell the sizzle, Dad. Sell the sizzle here.
I don't have a sizzle going here. My mind sort of shuts off.
I can tell.
Yeah, around 10:15.
So this is okay. Now what we're going to do here is I'm going to read this. I'm going to read the same story.
Okay, let's see the comparison of how you sell it.
Okay, I saw it. Here we go.
Okay, you got it.
I think I have the same story here. Yeah, Patricia Ann Spann. She's 45.
That's the same one.
She's 45 years old. She looks haggard. She looks like
she's wearing a Superman shirt.
So is the daughter.
That is strange.
Yeah, she looks like, remember the movie Kingpin with Woody Harrelson?
Kingpin, yeah.
Roy Munson, and remember his landlady? She looks like that. I don't remember that detail. Well, she pled guilty to the felony offense of incest.
Okay.
I didn't even know that was a crime anymore. I mean, but this is the thing. Not only did she molest her own daughter, she got married to her biological daughter.
Yeah.
Now, it was just...
That ain't right.
It's not right. It seems way worse than the Zambian sex doll thing. The mother lost custody of her children. Wonder why. And she was reunited with her daughter a couple years ago. The two married in March of 2016 after same-sex marriage became legal in the state of Oklahoma. Now, I have some friends that live... is it in Oklahoma or... No, it's Mississippi. They got married. Two lovely ladies, and I mean, that's great. I don't think this is the same at all. I think they're misreading or misinterpreting the same-sex marriage union. I don't think it's meant for a mother and a daughter. Her son, who was 18 years old at the time, I don't know how the son annulled the marriage.
Yeah,
is he a registered, maybe is he in the Universal Life Church?
A judge or something?
I doubt it. Looking at these folks, I would doubt that one member of the family made it up to the elite levels of
legal institutions. Yeah.
Well, they were actually discovered by the Department of Health and Human Services, who I was surprised is still doing child welfare checkups. It's not like this, and just so you know, it's not like this is a mom and like a 5-year-old. This is like she's a grown adult daughter, but it's still rather whack. Yeah. Three attorneys advise there'd be no problems with the marriage. I don't know if those attorneys, maybe she shouldn't get her attorneys off of like Craigslist. Or whatever.
Is there a website for attorneys? What is that?
What was it? The one on Arrested Development, Bob Loblaw's Law Blog.
Oh.
Bob Loblaw. So she said she thought the union was legal since she was not listed as the biological mother on her daughter's birth certificate. And look, she'd only come in contact with her 2 years beforehand. I mean, really, if you're going to let he who or she who is without sin cast the first stone, it's happened to all of us.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not your biological son. We had that snafu a couple years ago. It happened. We laugh about it now.
Hypothetically.
But under state law, marriage to a close relative is considered incest, regardless of whether a sexual relationship exists or not. Whap, whap. So, Oklahomans, just duly note that. That's how you read a story. There.
That was better than I did it.
Was that better?
That was better.
Okay. Yeah. There was. Where was the guy? We got time for one more before the break. Where was the guy who was find something real quick? I lost my my page. I was looking for the guy who was running for Congress that was wanting to arm the homeless.
Oh, I got it here. Arm the Homeless GoFundMe.
Yeah, it got canceled.
It was removed for violations of terms of service. Yeah.
Basically, the guy wanted to, he was only, the amount of money he was trying to get was only for, I think, 20 shotguns. Is that right?
I don't know. He says a libertarian candidate.
Right.
Yeah.
Libertarian candidate. He was trying to get money. He wanted to give 20 shotguns to the homeless in the community. What community was that in?
Let's see. Michigan.
And basically, he went on to say, he's like, look, I'm a registered gun owner. I carry a gun on me every day. I've never shot anybody. Why would the homeless guy shoot anybody? There was a better point to that story.
What was his reason for wanting to arm
them? We'll have to get
to
it after the break.
Okay.
We got one segment left
okay.
on Speaking of Strange. This is the Dark 30 Hour, and we'll be right back.
To a world of pits, and if we could have talked that soon in a delivery room, it would have asked the nurse for a hit. The reason for this, the mother is a jerk. Excuse me, junkie, which brought the work of the old into a new life. What a way. But this what a way has been a way of today. Anyway, push couldn't shove me to understand a path to a base set, cause Schumer should have raced it in a first wave. Cause second wave from believers and believers will walk to it, then even talk to it and say,
you got no violin, you
want my soul. Y'all can't have none of that. Tell them what to say, Mace.
Listening to Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC as we wrap up the last segment of the Dark 30 Hour. Yeah.
That's
hasn't
good.
Been too, it hasn't, and Dad's pooped. He's getting,
I'm tired.
He's drinking a Monster energy
I've
drink.
I've got a
over.
Monster drink here to keep me going.
And he's like, he's fading hard.
I am fading. I'm
he's
losing my
fading hard. But look, you've been a trooper. Thank you for.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
it's
can tell.
It's been fun, Sam.
Yeah, thank you for coming on and playing radio with me.
It's very interesting.
Because I know
process.
You always listen.
I listen a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So now you're part of the problem, not the solution.
Yeah.
All right, so last couple, I mean, and some of these might be construed as a little bit, messed up, but they're not really. You know how it is. The first one, this one's not messed up. Tuba theft. Let's talk about it. People want to talk about the opiate crisis. What about the tuba epidemic?
I know that's something serious.
It's more common than you might think.
Yeah, now, that's what the title says.
I see this picture actually of here of Ben Jaffe. Do you know who Ben Jaffe is?
I do not know Ben Jaffe.
He is he's like the head of the New Orleans Preservation Hall Jazz Band. The venerable.
Yeah.
I
okay.
mean, his tuba got stolen.
He was in New Orleans at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah, well,
I believe.
And this is not in some rinky dink. No, this is in the Wall Street Journal story titled "There's a Tuba Crime Wave Sweeping America."
This is something we need to deal with, I think.
No, it really is. I mean, like, You know, first of all, brass instruments are not cheap.
No, they're not.
But here's the thing. I don't understand. First of all, as a musician, it's wrong. It's wrong to steal. You've always taught me well.
You're right.
You shouldn't lie. You shouldn't cheat. You shouldn't steal.
Should not.
No. Those are the three tenets of being a decent person. You should definitely, you get extra bad karma if you steal a musician's instrument. Because that's not only their love, that's how they make their living. You know what I'm saying? If somebody stole math from you.
It's more personal.
It is more personal. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is that you can't, what's the point? You can't easily offload.
How would you get rid of it? You know?
Yeah, I mean, you got a $20,000 Preservation Hall Jazz Band tuba. Unless you're a big fan of the Preservation Jazz, the Preservation Hall.
And it looks like that's printed right in the bell of the tuba,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, New Orleans musicians will write their, like their click type thing on there. And this happens even here in Asheville quite a bit. I'll have friends put on Facebook about, you're packing up your gear at a show. Next thing you know, somebody's snaked your amp or your guitars. It's really a shame. So that's not really crazy news. Just don't, there's a tuba crime like going on. Don't play part in it. Don't buy any stolen tubas. Okay. Don't be the middleman in a tuba transaction. You know, just go to your tuba facilities, the El Tubadero Club, Tuba City, Tuba or not Tuba.
Tuba or not Tuba. Another police squad reference.
Another one.
Yes.
So let's see. We got a couple minutes left. Let's see. Do I have time for both of these? I'll knock it out. Here we go. A startup company. It's a startup company. They are called Nectome. It sounds like a crazy startup company. They've got this new technology for exquisitely preserving brains in microscopic detail using a high-tech embalming process. The only problem is to upload all the information from your brain.
You have to die.
You have to die.
That's a downer.
So how important, self-important do you have to be like, oh, what's in this head? I wouldn't want necessarily everybody to know what's going on in my brain right now because a lot of it's messed up.
Stuff in my head would be worth keeping, after I die.
I know a lot of people I can just look at the Walmart at 3 a.m. and know that theirs is not worth keeping. But mine, for instance, might be troubling.
Now, if you could hook up something while you're alive to sort of, get extra memory storage, that'd be great.
What if it made you dumber? Like, what if extract the brain that it made you dumber, but you could do it while and live?
It would be cool to, get an implant of Stephen Hawking's brain,
Well, now we'll just finish up with this one because we're running out of time. In the future, like that guy John from the year 4000, maybe you'll have like a downloadable, like you can get on some torrent site or something and download the entire you can get on like certain torrent sites and download entire websites. Like you can get all of Pornhub, like everything on Pornhub in one fell swoop. Maybe you could like download people's brains. Be like, I want to be Walt Disney this week.
That would be interesting. Yeah.
That would be a good Black Mirror episode.
I haven't seen Black Mirror.
You haven't seen Black Mirror? I told Mom to tell you.
Oh, maybe she did tell me.
Remember the Star Trek episode where
that's right.
Season 4, episode 1? I texted her and specifically told her.
I think she probably told me, but we were dealing with all sorts of other stuff at the time.
Oh, my goodness. Well, trust me on this one. Black Mirror.
Black Mirror.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's been fun for me.
Hey, good, Sam.
To play some radio with my daddy.
Hey, I appreciate you, Sam. You're a great kid.
Ah, thanks. You're a good dad.
Thank you.
Thanks. Love you. Mom, thanks for letting him stay out late tonight. Like to thank him and the home.
I'll be home soon, honey.
Yeah. Like to thank Vance and Shelley and Joshua P. Warren. All you guys listening, if I haven't answered your email again, not personal. It's just I suck at life. I will try harder. I'll try to get to it. See y'all when we see. I got some more tournament games might be impeding.
Oh, yeah.
The flow depends
good
on
old,
what.
NCAA.
So good luck in your brackets and all. Y'all have a good one. Be cool to each other. You are commanded.